It's time for Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Mat-Su Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, folks, once again, we're ready for another edition of Valley Edition. It's my great pleasure to have on the phone Zaz Hollander calling from somewhere up the road. Welcome, Zaz.
Somewhere between here and Talkeetna. Hey, everybody. Good to be here.
And welcome into the studio, both Mark Kelsey and Terry Snyder. Welcome, Mark and Terry.
Happy Friday.
Glad to be here.
And controlling the board, of course, Gary Bowling. Thank you very much. And I'm calling in from Anchorage. What a diverse group we are. So let's go to Zaz first, because she's headed into the woods. The timber thing. What's the present status of that, the borough's timber sale?
So, yeah, this is a combination of a big timber sale that was originally let back in the late 90s, and a lease out at the port to export logs and or to store and export logs. And so this is a big kind of complicated, multifaceted venture that includes a lot of moving parts. Came into the public eye very recently and was approved at 11 something p.m. on Tuesday night by assembly members who they didn't sound too punchy. The borough attorney sounded pretty punchy and kept reminding them how late it was, which was kind of concerning to me personally. So the assembly in a 5-2 vote approved the two contracts that needed to be approved for this venture to go forward. And this is a venture that involves Charlie Nash, who is the logger who originally purchased the timber sale that was then the subject of a lawsuit that he appealed to the state Supreme Court, where they remanded it to the lower level and the borough settled. And so the price on the timber sale contract was set by the settlement, which is 5 years old. And so there was a fair amount of grumbling that price, I think it's $31.50 an acre, is pretty low. And it's a pretty good deal, and I think that was probably very appealing to all the various companies involved. And then there's a Washington State gentleman who has, from what I can tell, a pretty good reputation in the business, Eric Oyen, who just formed a company to kind of jump on all this and is the middleman. And then there's this New Zealand company that is going to be, has found some markets in China for Mat-Su logs and is shipping them there. And then there's also a separate port lease that was approved that gives Denali, Eric Oyen's company, Denali Timber Management, the exclusive right for 3 years to ship logs to Pacific Rim countries. And so that is done. There are a few kind of contingencies. The timber sale needs state approval. The borough planning department needs to sign off on a transportation plan that Denali Timber Management presented them the day of this decision, and there was quite a bit of complaining from the public. One of the sort of the leading conflict areas with this proposal is the fact that there will be a lot of log truck traffic on a maintained, only I think it's about 12 miles in, section of Oil Well Road, and there were people who lived out there who said that it could be really dangerous to pass log trucks on that road. Eric Oyen is promising a number of safety improvements. That kind of remains to be seen. There's still a lot of unknowns here, and I don't know specifically what's going to happen, but with big projects like this, there are often promises made that don't necessarily come out the way they're expected to. I'm not saying he's not going to make the improvements he said he would, but there's some questions as to who's going to be doing this work. There could be a lot of jobs, local jobs here. The jobs could be maybe supplied out of Washington State or Oregon. That part is unclear. People in the timber industry are very happy about this. People who live in Oil Well are skeptical. And a big part of it is the process, which falls to the borough. How quickly this happened, how sort of sudden the opportunities for public input were. And I mean, the Trapper Creek Community Council did not get a chance to meet before this decision was made, and I think that troubled people up there.
So Zaz, quick question, because the bottom line thing is, what does the borough get out of this? What's the benefit in terms of...
Well, I mean, the borough has a lot of calculations about the revenue they're going to get or expect to get. There's port revenues from the lease and from wharfage and that sort of a thing that the borough says could be as much as $1 million. I'll believe it when I see it. And then the timber sale revenues is based on that $31.50 an acre, and based on the acreage is actually cut, and the original estimates that, you know, were in their memos backing up these proposals were wrong. They overestimated the acreage that would be cut. So that also remains to be seen. It depends on how much is actually logged. It also depends on the state, the condition of the wood. It's a mixed forest, about 60% spruce, 40% birch, if I remember right. And Eric Oyen told me that, you know, most of that spruce has been affected by spruce bark beetles. So it's a chance they may get in there and find that at least some of those logs are too far gone. There's also a concern that they could increase the beetle infestation in that area if they aren't able to kind of buck up those logs and dry it out quickly enough. That could fuel the spread of the beetles. You know, again, Orion said that, boy, the infestation there is so bad we couldn't make it worse. But just there's a lot of questions. A lot of things remain to be seen.
Well, I've got a couple for you.
Go for it, Mark.
Who were the two on the assembly who said no, and what were their objections?
It was Sykes and McKee. And Sykes certainly has been hounding the process on this. He expressed his disappointment at the end of a meeting that ended at midnight Tuesday, when it had to, it's a mandatory end, but that the process was deeply flawed in terms of not only involving the public, but there's an aspect, the timber sale contract specifically exempts the sale from the timber sale code. So there's no fair market value, there's no competitive bidding and public input. All those requirements are waived. The borough manager several times made the point that if, rather than establishing a new contract, if he had extended the existing contract, none of those things would have been required anyway. But I think that point was lost on people who wanted more say in this process, who wanted more transparency and more time for this decision to be made. And then McKee, I think, had similar concerns. I'm trying to remember. Jim spoke more than George did, so I'm trying to remember now. Terry, do you remember any more specific?
I think his was also about process, but also about the urgency of we have to do this right now. He's very skeptical of things that are pushed in front of them, and it must be today or never. And
repairs at the port months.
Right. Yeah. And I think another concern that hasn't come up too much, but you know, the borough spent a lot of time and effort putting together a forest management plan. In fact, as a disclaimer, I was on the Real Property Asset Management Board when that was all put together. And it was a very, a document that was really well researched. John Strassenberg from the Talkeetna area just put a lot of time and energy into that. And it went through a huge public process to get approved. And they kind of kicked it aside.
That one is also waived. That's right.
Yeah, and that was done. You know, that was done after the whole problem with the Charlie Nash problem, sort of in a response to that. But so there is a lot of things that people are upset about, and not just the Talkeetna Parrot people, but you know, this is the Point McKenzie Community Council didn't weigh in on it, and those trucks are going to go roaring down that way too. They've not really considered any alternate ways of getting things there. I thought one testifier came up with an alternate method that may not may have to have a new road, but it would also get all that traffic off of Oil Well. So I'm hoping, I think there's a lot of hopes, especially from a lot of assembly people that were a little tentative on this. Barbara Doty, Assemblyman Leonard, that were a little concerned about the transportation piece not being in there and them not getting to see it, that are going to put a lot of pressure on the planning department and on the manager to make sure that those pieces are in place and are, you know, going to protect the public asset and also the private assets that are along that route.
Yeah, and there were a number of statements made that, you know, this is sort of on John Moosey, the borough manager, and his review is coming up. It's right around the corner, but you know, if there's going to be fallout from this project, it's not going to be by mid-May. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Zaz, thank you for that. You're heading up the road, so I'm guessing you're going to go into the woods and look at the timber. Is that correct?
I wish. Hopefully sometime this summer when work gets underway, I'd really, really like to get in with Charlie Nash or Eric Oyen or whoever is involved, and I think that would be fascinating. But I'm heading to Denali to do a story about the start of climbing season and the fact that that this year mountaineers are going to have to pack out their human waste.
Wow.
And clean mountain cans from 14,000 feet down, from below Camp 4, I think it is. And above, there's one crevasse that they can use, and that's it. So there are new policies because there are metric tons of human waste on that mountain, including Washburns. It doesn't go anywhere.
Oh. Not a pretty picture. Not a good visual.
Thank you for sharing those images. I believe that. Okay. I know you will have to go, so we'll carry on with the other aspects of...
we'll look forward to that story, though.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
sounds good.
Absolutely.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, so now let us shift a little bit and finish up with whatever be said about that borough assembly meeting, given that the timber one came toward the end and dominated. Terry, any other topics you'd like to just reference so that we complete the picture?
Well, I think there was a really interesting and too bad it's going to be a little more overlooked presentation about the wetlands and what's happening and not happening with the wetland banks here, and about what the borough may be facing with two proposed pipelines going through some of the biggest set of wetland in the whole state, that being the Donlin Mine and this LNG project. And the Assembly did decide to do a work session on it later, so I think we're going to see about that. But as far as legislation, Mike, there was 240 people at the Assembly meeting, I like to report, as counted as best it could. It was an overflow crowd, a lot of them that were passionate educators who spoke in support of a new funding mechanism that the borough and the school district have been working on, a five-year plan to have more certainty in funding so that there isn't this every year trying to figure out how much we're able to fund our schools, kind of a level playing field, kind of walking away a little bit from the per pupil and making it sort of a percentage of what the tax base is to give everybody a little more certainty. And I think at the end it wasn't exactly what the school district wanted, the amount, but it was close enough that they seemed pleased that they have that certainty locked in. Of course, they don't have that yet from the legislature, but it looks like we're on a path to a little better certainty with education funding. So that was fairly well received. And the next big piece was the tax cap. And the whole conversation about the tax caps just makes my head explode because there's no way to easily explain the tax cap. It's really a revenue cap. I hate that we call it a tax cap. But at the end of the day, they did set a mill rate based on what it was last year, no increase at this point for taxpayers. And that, of course, depends upon what comes out from the budget sausage making that will happen on the borough budget. That's about the next big piece of legislation they'll start working on here between now and the end of May to see if they can stay under that cap. But it was complex, and we talked about this, Mike, on Citizen Lobbyists earlier this week, that we really need to have the financial director and maybe an assembly person like Mr. Leonard, who understands it really well, to really explain it to people, because it's really quite confusing, and I think the public is pretty misinformed about what it means to be under a tax cap.
Okay. We'll look forward to doing that. Any other items? Maybe even looking forward to what in 2 weeks the next assembly meeting would bring?
Mark's got a question.
Quick
here.
One. Quick look back,
sure,
before we spring forward here. So with the funding, is the school district saying there will be no cuts?
They still don't know that. Even with this funding, it looks like they're about $1.5 million short. They do have reserves, they won't know until that final piece from what comes down from the state is there. But at least they have an agreement with the borough, and they know where they sit on that. And also, you know that it is sort of a squishy thing, because when the borough sits down to make their own cuts, there could be some extra money there that they could fill in that a little bit more that the school district had asked for. But at least they've set the floor limit of what it is. So I think that gives them some certainty.
Okay. So, Terry, looking forward?
I'm looking forward to the legislature adjourning. Is that what you're asking, Mike?
No. Okay.
Will they adjourn with all business taken care of?
Boy, isn't that the big question. If they don't have at least one piece of legislation I'm looking at, you're going to hear big sighs.
Okay. I'm guessing that smoke will come out of your ears.
Yes.
Right? Okay, I got that. Okay. Well, let's switch focus a little bit then to a meeting that happened, a Palmer City Council meeting that happened 2 weeks ago, and then more recently, last Tuesday, a combined council and planning commission meeting. Just to bring listeners up to date and remind ourselves, the Fred Meyer building, which has remained empty now for some time, has been the subject of speculation. Many different people thinking this would be a good idea, that would be a good idea. But what drew people to a full house just about 2 weeks ago at the regular council meeting was the phrase gun range. And there was a full house of people that were willing to testify and raise questions with the council about what appeared to be a proposal to have not just one, but multiple gun ranges within the building, as well as an extensive gun-focused operation. And the council at that time voted to postpone making a decision about granting an exception to a permit process associated with noise. Since that time, the planning joint meeting that happened this past Tuesday saw Mr. Richard Steichen appear just to speak at persons to be heard. He was not on the agenda specifically, other than to spend 5 minutes to describe a proposal that he had, which was of a totally different nature, that he had presented to Fred Meyer. And so since that time, what I have found is talking to a variety of people who are into the details of planning and regulations and ordinances, that there's maybe not as simple a process which had been described earlier, that there were no zoning or other regulations that would apply. This is a commercial area that Fred Meyer's building is in. And that actually there may be some other things, and there's considerable discussion, so that looking forward to the next Tuesday meeting, there may be a lot of people coming to present very specific things about why that operation that was proposed wouldn't fit in Fred Meyer. That's a long-winded summary. Terry, do you have anything else?
No, but I'm going to be sorry. I'm going to miss it, so I'll be listening to it, streaming it.
Right. Mark?
I'm curious, if there's no zoning restriction, can this be stopped?
Well, actually, that's where we get into the details, and I would defer to those people who are very familiar with what can and cannot be done. It's my impression that although people may have looked at this proposal from the 30,000-foot level to say it's commercial and so on, there are, in the detail of all of the ordinances, a variety of other things that suggest that maybe the council will have to act, or the planning committee will have to meet to deal with some of the aspects of this proposal. That's my impression, I've had a few people bring that up. They seem to be knowledgeable and legitimate. So my point here today is to suggest that I think the next meeting will be an important one, and there will be much more detail looking at opening up that idea that this is a commercial zone and they can do do this business. And the hints are that maybe that's an oversimplification, even to the point of discussing one aspect of the proposal, which involved manufacturing. Even if it's light manufacturing of gun parts, that may require some action on the part of the council. So,
well, that's going to be really something to watch, because there are a lot of eyes are on that for sure.
I think so. And I believe, as I understand, the local Fred Meyer management has been approached to help communicate with Fred Meyer Central. And it is also my understanding that there has been quite a bit of communication between the public in Palmer and Fred Meyer, the local store, talking about interests in having something happen here. So we're once again back at that real basic question: to what degree does the city and the city council involve itself in business decisions of this sort between private parties, someone who owns a building and someone who would like to start a business in that building.
I think another thing that it brings up, Mike, just looking at the code they were sort of faced with that was sometime in the 70s was addressed, the noise ordinance, that maybe it's time to look at all the codes and walk through them and their policies and to make sure Palmer's a changing community. Demographically, it's changing. The needs and wants of the community are changing. We're urging, you know, people are wanting more walkability. They're wanting to use their cars less. They're wanting to bicycle less. And are all of the codes that we have, those regarding driveway permits or what the public process is supposed to do and not do, what the public works is supposed to do and not do, and how buildings are supposed to comply with those things or change. I think it's just time. I think it's this might just be the thing that makes them sort of start looking at more of what's been ingrained for a long time. And even though it might be working, there are new ways of looking at things to make it a safer, more livable community.
And I think as we come toward the close of this session, it's appropriate to be reminded that it's the 19th anniversary of the Columbine shooting, and that across the country there are a variety of demonstrations being done, primarily by students. That's occurring or will have occurred by the time listeners are listening to this in Anchorage at 11:19. The time when the shooting began in Columbine. And there's been considerable attention paid to the fact that the organization nationwide doesn't seem to have involved adults or groups that do this, but it has grown up somewhat organically, certainly in Anchorage. And I think a representative of the Anchorage School District is reported to have said that in her many years, decades of experience of students being involved and so on, this is the largest reaction that and action that she has seen being demonstrated, and that maybe this touches the point. We'll draw a line between the idea of having a gun range in downtown Palmer and the great focus on guns and gun control and all the rest that's happening at the present time. This may have, and we've mentioned this before, been something that could have happened with much less attention a few months ago or a year ago. But at the present time, there seems to be a sensitized public reaction and concern about anything involving guns. Not that people are saying there shouldn't be a gun range. Many people who spoke at the council have said that. But the timing may be against such a proposal.
Interesting.
Okay. Well, with that, I think we're come to that magic point where we can say, unless those of you who are there in the studio will want to add anything else before we finish up, we'll be coming to a close. Mark?
Just a quick eye on Juno. You know, how will things wind down? Will they wind down? We alluded earlier to the smoke-free Alaska bill still bottled up in committee. Lots of wrangling going on over that. But for now, at least, it looks like a $1,600 dividend is confirmed, or as confirmed as it can be at this point. The current state of the budget is, I think they're considering passing one with a $2.4 billion deficit. So, I think a lot of that's expected in an election year, but some of the final pieces still remain to be put in place. So we'll see how that goes.
It seems to be a more congenial atmosphere as compared to this time in the process last year. Terry?
Yep. Just a real shout out to not our senator, but Senator Duckworth, who back in D.C. brought her baby, the first baby on the Senate floor, which just makes my heart soar, and just a reminder that things are changing. And so big kudos to her. But, yeah, let's giddy up in Juneau. What people are tired of waiting around 5 years for people to be protected from secondhand smoke. That's just pretty much ridiculous. Everybody agrees. So let's get your business done and get out of Juneau and come back and meet your constituents.
Okay. Well, once again, it's time for the end of another edition of Valley Edition. I want to thank Zaz, who's going further up the road. I also want to thank Mark and Terry, who are in the studio, for being there today. Thank you both.
Have a good weekend.
Okay, and with that, we'll be back next week with another edition of Valley Edition.
You've been listening to Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Matsu Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky. Valley Edition is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of hosts or guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.